Welcome to the podcast of Tower Hill Church. This is Pastor Jason. Well, how's your summer going? I hope that it's going well. I hope that you are enjoying yourself. Oftentimes what I realize is that there is absolutely no vacation on earth, no matter where I go, no matter how expensive, that gives me the kind of rest that I find in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you find that this summer, that you have a great time coming and going and doing all the things that you're doing, but that you really find time to focus and connect with Jesus. And maybe that's why you're listening to the podcast. So I hope that we are able to help you with that. Well, I know that it's been a couple of weeks since we have posted. We've had a lot going on in the life of the church. Apologize that I haven't posted these podcasts in the last few weeks, but I guess that's the problem when the pastor is doing the podcast and the pastor is away on back-to-back mission trips, back-to-back camps. So I had a really great time, but there was no time to post any of the sermons that were done during that time. But I'm going to try and get to those over the course of the next couple of weeks and make sure those end up getting posted all the way from Father's Day until the end of June. So anyway, this is our last installment of the Acts sermon series, Until the Whole World Hears. And I pray that you enjoy it. But more than that, I pray that it speaks to your heart and life, because this is all about the storms that we face. And I don't know if you're facing a storm right now, but hopefully this message will give you some hope and some peace and some promise. All right, have a blessed day. What's fascinating to me, and I think it's very spiritually important, is that although the book of Acts begins with the ascension of Jesus Christ and the day of Pentecost, it ends with a shipwreck. It ends with a storm. And I think there is something very, very important about that and how we live our lives, about what happens when the storms come. Not every day is Pentecost. And oftentimes we have to work through the storms in order for God to work through us and in us. And so that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about what happens when the storms come. You ever been trapped in a storm? A storm ever catch you by surprise? Yeah. Yeah, maybe you've been out on a boat, or maybe you were out camping, or maybe you were just at home and you were not prepared for the storm. Obviously, when Sandy came, we were not prepared for that storm. I was also thinking about, there was a season in my life when I was driving back and forth from Minneapolis to Pennsylvania. And I was doing that a couple times a year. I'm on my way back from Minneapolis once in the middle of the summer, and I'm somewhere outside of the Chicago area. I don't remember exactly where, but I did remember this. It had been clear skies until ahead in the distance I see a black line of clouds. I mean black, and also slightly greenish. And I would see, I mean, it was so ominous looking, and I could see flashes, like there was lightning in the clouds. And I'm thinking to myself, run. Run. I'm no weatherman, but that's not good. This storm that I'm about to drive into. And then I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, what am I going to do? I'm not just going to pull over on the middle of the interstate. Then the thing's just going to hit me. I'm going to be a sitting duck. Well, I'll look for an overpass, and I'll go hide underneath that. Of course, I couldn't find one. And so I'm just driving, and the storm's getting closer, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, now wait a minute. Now, Lord, you didn't bring me this far just to kill me in a thunderstorm, right? Of course not. Of course not. Let's just keep going. I'm going to be fine. So I keep going. And then the storm's right on top of me, and I'm doing this in the car, you know. I'm waiting for a tornado to just hit me in the head, basically. I didn't know what was going to happen. I'm waiting for debris and for hail and everything. And once I'm in the storm, now I'm having some different thoughts. Like, God, you're not going to kill me, right? Maybe I wasn't feeling quite as confident when I was outside the storm or when I was in the storm as when I was outside the storm. Once I got into the storm, I started really questioning, am I going to be all right? I don't know if this is going to go well.
I think in life, the storms test our confidence in God. It's easy when you're not in a storm to be like, no problem. God's got this. And then you're in one. And then you're like, God's got this? For many of us, in fact, we might feel like when the storm comes, it's just enough to push us away from God. Maybe God's mad at me. Maybe I'm going through the storm because of something that I did. Maybe God's punishing me. We say we trust God, but when the storms come, what does our behavior say? And that's why I think it's significant that we get Paul's example of how to go through a storm well. To set the scene for you, this is the end of the book of Acts, and Paul has received a vision from God that he's going to get an opportunity to witness, to testify in front of Caesar himself. God has planted this vision in his heart and life that he's going to get to testify before Caesar. Now, at the time, Paul was a prisoner of Rome, and they were taking him back to Rome, and he was on a ship with other prisoners. But Paul had it in his head. He was going to go visit and testify with Caesar. And while they're at port, Paul gets this vision that there's going to be a storm. And he tells the crew, don't sail the way that you are planning on sailing, because it's not going to end well. And you have to imagine, like, who's this guy? Like, he's a prisoner. Who's listening to the prisoner? Nobody. So they run into a storm, a really, really bad one that lasts for many, many days. Hurricane winds, the scripture says. And this is all narrated by Luke, who, remember, wrote the book of Acts, who was with Paul in this particular journey. So he writes it from the first person. But Paul has this vision. And watch how this unfolds in the middle of the storm. In your bulletin, it begins at verse 27. I'm going to start with verse 21, and I'll let you know once we get to verse 27. After they, that's the ship's crew, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Told you so. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. I wonder if they... Oh, great. That's such good news. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. I mean, I have to think this crew running this ship is thinking, okay, we're ready to listen. They've gone without food. Why? Because you're not going to eat much during a storm like that. And I'm sure they're thinking, well, wait a minute, he was right about the storm. And now God's given him a vision, and he says that we're all going to be spared. I mean, this was sinking in. You know, that's one thing about storms. When the storm comes, we're ready to listen. We're ready. Here we are at verse 27. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Boy, they were doubling down on trusting Paul, the prisoner Paul, in this moment. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, "you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive." He believes that what God said will come to pass. They're all going to survive, but you got to eat. You will need it to survive. "Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. That's a bold move. We got to lighten up this ship. We're worried about it running ashore, hitting the rocks. Let's get rid of the food. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, again, that's you don't come back from that. You cut the anchors away, that's it. You're at the mercy of the sea. Cutting the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Wow. What a crazy moment. And it didn't stop there. What happens next is they get to shore. God's promise fulfilled, but they get to shore. Paul goes to build a fire, and he gets bitten by a poisonous snake. Thanks a lot. And the local tribe there is expecting his hand to blow up and for him to die, but nothing happens. And the members of that tribe say, "Oh, wait a minute. Something's going on with this guy." And they bring Paul to the chief's father, who is sick. And Paul goes and he heals him. Then the people of that tribe bring all of their sick to Paul, and he heals them. Had Paul never gone through the storm, those people would never have been healed. Here's the thing about storms in our life. Storms test our confidence in God, but it's up to you whether or not it's going to grow your faith. That's where you come in. The storm could push us either way. We could decide we're not going to believe it. We're going to turn from God. God must be angry with me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me because I went through this storm, and so I'm just going to push God off to the side. But for others, when the storm comes, then it's like, I'm going to trust in God completely in this storm, and they come out the other side with more faith. But to be sure, the storms test our confidence in God. For many of us, we think, well, God must be angry with me because I'm in this storm. Or maybe I'm shipwrecked. It must be because of something that I did. God's punishing me. I can't tell you how many times I hear this from people. I'm going through a hard time because I didn't go to church for a while, so God's punishing me. Are you kidding me? This is not the God that I know. This is not the God that Paul knows. He's punishing you. No, the punishment's been taken care of once and for all on the cross. Jesus took all the punishment that we deserve. It's not punishment, it's life. Storms happen. We are in a broken world. Storms happen in this broken world. It's not because God's angry with you, but God can use that storm to save you. Sometimes shipwrecked is the best thing that could ever happen to you. And because you're shipwrecked, that might be the best thing that ever happened to those other people who need healing, who you never would have gotten to. Or your faith grows in a way that it never would have without the storm. Let's take a look at Paul's storm, because I think this is important. The first thing that we have to acknowledge is Paul's storm wasn't his fault. It wasn't Paul's fault. The storm just came. Here's the other thing. The storm was a surprise. Most of the time, the storms in life, we don't see them coming. Some we do. I'll talk about it in a moment. But most of the storms that happen are just storms. We're driving along, it's a clear sunny day, and then we see the huge black line of clouds. And it just happens. We're not prepared for it. We don't know what to do. But I think Paul helps us to think through what does it mean to weather the storm well with keeping our confidence in God not only intact, but growing. The storm wasn't a sign of God's anger. If that were true, then you would say, well, God was angry with Jesus because he was tortured and crucified. Right? Makes no sense. It's not because God was angry that Paul went through the storm. What the storm did was it revealed Paul's unshakable confidence in what God had called him to do. So after the healing, Paul's story doesn't end there. It says, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house. This is in Rome. They finally got to Rome. And Paul, the prisoner, got to stay in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. You know, the scripture never tells us if he got his meeting with Caesar, not directly, because the events happened before, the events that he wrote about before he had that chance in Rome. But there is a letter in the New Testament, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I'll have to bring it to you next week. But there's a letter in the New Testament where Paul brings greetings. You know how he starts his letters with greetings? And part of it is he's greeting you from all the faithful in Rome and the members of the household of Caesar. Which leads me to believe he has already made friends with the household of Caesar and that he got his meeting. That God's vision was fulfilled. This vision that was planted on his mind and heart was actually fulfilled despite the storms. And here's the point. God places a vision in our hearts and minds. And so many times along the way, there are plenty of times to jump ship. And many people often do. Paul never did. And the result was that those things came to pass. Imagine the joy that Paul experienced that after all that happened, those things came to pass. God's promises came to pass. This week, I was at on a mission trip with 441 teenagers. I'm tired. They repaired 61 homes in a week. 61 homes. They built decks and wheelchair ramps. They did siding, they did roofing, they did painting, many of whom had never picked up a power tool in their lives. It was amazing. But I'll tell you what, from Sunday night to Saturday morning, there were plenty of storms. There were plenty of times they could have jumped ship and given up on that vision that God had given them. I'll give you an example. One crew had to rebuild their wheelchair ramp 3 times because they did it wrong twice. These kids were so bummed. They did it wrong twice, had to do it a 3rd time, but they got it done, and it got done right, and they couldn't believe it. What's the difference? They didn't give up on the vision God had given them. They knew that if they just stuck with it, if they didn't jump ship, God would bring it to pass somehow. And to them, this was a miracle. Honestly, to me, that was a miracle. I also, on the way home yesterday, I had an opportunity to drive by my alma mater, Allegheny College, which I hadn't driven by or been to in at least 20 years. And I'm driving around campus, and you know that feeling when you go back to a school and you have all that nostalgia and you're imagining walking those different places with your friends and all the people, and you're reminiscing, and you're just kind of flooded with all these memories. And as I drove then into the town of Meadville, it's a very exciting town, home of Dad's Dog Food and Channel Lock. Little trivia for you. And as I'm driving down kind of the main drag there, I look at a church and I remembered, and I took a picture of it, St. Paul's Reformed Church. I took a picture of it because that's where, in 1993, I had a vision for the very first time of working, doing ministry in a church. I was a brand new Christian. Brand new. And I just spent the summer as a brand new Christian working with kids, doing ministry with kids. And I was looking for a church to go to because I knew I needed that. And I go to this church. It was a very small church. And I don't remember the pastor's name, but I remember him very clearly. So they do their service. And after the service, I went up to him and I explained, I'm a new Christian. I'm going to Allegheny College and I just work with kids all summer. Well, this guy saw an opportunity. He says, "Do you want to run the youth ministry?" That's just like that. Like, we just met. "You want to run the youth ministry? I can't pay you anything, but, you know, you want to run it for us?" And, you know, I was just excited. I was a brand new Christian, man. I was ready to say yes to anything, and I did. Absolutely. Let's do this. And I remember starting this youth group. It was just a very strange youth group. We had about 20 kids ages 6 to, like, 17. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no help. I was just jumping in, and I was doing youth group as best I knew how every week. It wasn't very good. But I was at least excited, and the kids were glad that I was there. Between there, when I had that vision, and now, of working and ministering in a church, there were an abundance of storms where at any time I could have jumped ship and given up on that vision God had given to me. Had a lot of rough things happen to me in all that time. But because I hung on, I've been able to realize one of those visions that God has given me in my life. What about you? Maybe you are going through a storm right now, or maybe you've been through some storms. Maybe you are dealing with sickness. And you're thinking, well, I'm just going to jump ship because obviously the plans that I thought God had for me aren't going to come true because I'm going through this. Don't jump ship. Hold fast. Yeah, it's hard. There's no way around that. But hang on. God's going to see you through this storm. I guarantee it. Scripture says the Lord is our refuge and our strength. a very present help in trouble. He will see you through this storm. Storms don't last forever. You'll get on the other side of it. So what do we do? What do we do when the storms do come? I want to share just a couple of things that I hope will help, taking from Paul's story. I want to say, actually, the first thing is avoid the unnecessary storms. These are the storms that we create because of our behavior. If you are struggling in your marriage, go get some counseling. Avoid that storm. Invest in your relationship. Go out to dinner more. Have a date night. Go on vacation. Do something. Do something to build into that relationship. If you see that storm coming, it's best to change direction. If you struggle with alcohol, get some help. That storm will take you down hard sooner or later. If you struggle with gambling, or whatever it is that you are struggling with, avoid the storms that you can avoid. If you're trying to quit smoking, get the patch. Do whatever it takes. Avoid that storm. Because there's plenty of other storms that we can avoid. Let's try to avoid the unnecessary ones. And then the first thing you do, what do you do when the storm comes? Take shelter. Take shelter. What do I mean? I mean, God is our refuge and our strength. Take shelter in Him. Get into God's Word. You're going to be tempted to read God's Word and pray less because you're so emotionally racked. Worst thing you could do. Best thing you could do, force yourself to open up the Scripture. Force yourself to pray to God during those times. God will be your strength. Trust that God will see you through. That God didn't bring you this far just to dash you on the rocks. God has promises that He intends to fulfill in your life. Trust that He's going to see you through. And I got to tell you, just like Paul, sometimes shipwrecked is the best result. Sometimes it could be worse. Sometimes shipwrecked is the best result. Listen, I don't think God might not cause the storm, but I think God uses the storm. And unless you were shipwrecked, you might not be in a place where God wants you. God might want you there to save others. God's got people that He wants you to live your life of faith with. He wants you to experience through the storm a growth in your heart, in your faith, so that you can share it with people He wants to put in your life. Sometimes shipwrecked is exactly where God needs you to be because you are trusting in Him to see you through. Don't jump ship. It won't save you.